1. Indian music.
The framework within which improvisation takes place in Indian music is the raga, a variable framework. The basic intervals used, the shruti and the svara, and the rhythmic cycle, the tal, are also variable. Consequently, the main raw materials used by the Indian musicians are of an unfixed, malleable nature. Improvisation for him is a fact of musical life. The shruti is the smallest interval. Its exact size is elusive. The octave in Indian music is divided into 7 main unequal units called svaras. The shruti is the subdivision of the svara, and its relation to the svara can be 2-1, 3-1, or 4-1. The interval itself does not have a clearly defined size. The octave, however, does have an exact size, and there are 22 shrutis to an octave. But these divisions are not equal. It is the use of these very short intervals that makes the individuality of the Indian system, the spirit of the raga or melody type, best expressed through the use of these minute divisions of the scale. The expertness of a musician depends to a large extent on his capacity to use them so as to add richness and sweetness to his songs. When 2 notes of the same pitch are struck simultaneously and one of them is raised gradually higher and higher, in pitch relationship or pitch ratio, one of them serves as a basic note of reference and the ear responds and tolerates certain definite points, and there are 22 such points which are the basis of the shrutis in Indian music from time immemorial. The 7 unequal and variable divisions of the octave, usually compared to a scale, have been more accurately described as the molecular structure of the raga. Although they provide the main tonal points, their identity is not established primarily by their relationship to a tonic, and their use is not step-like or sequential. Most of this activity is in the shrutis acting as satellites of the svara over a continuous drone or shadja. The tal is the rhythmic cycle over which the second part of the raga is played and is treated mainly as a base for rhythmic variations of fixed metrical length, for example 16, 12, or 8 matras or beats. The subdivision of this cycle can become quite complex. Although there are probably over 100 tal available to the Indian musician, there are only about a dozen in general use. The feel of the rhythm is called the laya. It's usually described as the overall tempo, but it's much more than tempo. It can be the Western equivalent of groove, swing, continuum, kinetic, dynamic, equivalence, ballistic, centrifugal, etc. Laya is the father and Shruti is the mother of the raga, so to speak. Raga is a set of ingredients, all of which themselves are variable, and out of which the musician must fashion his performance and interpret these elements. There is an ambiguity about the raga, but in general, first there is this ascending and descending series of svaras, which do not on their own establish the identity of the raga, but how the svaras are treated, how they are approached, and how they are ordered or grouped, how they are left, and which svara is selected for emphasis, all help define the raga. The first half of the raga, alapa, is an out-of-tempo, slow introduction, and the second, the ghat, is played over the tal, the rhythmic cycle. The whole thing is in flux, achieving its final state only at the moment of performance. For an Indian musician, improvisation is learned, or perhaps acquired, firstly on understanding and complete familiarity with the musical context within which they improvise. The objective is usually represented by an admired player whose performance one wishes to emulate. Personal instruction, artistic training, precedes the technical. In this sort of personal instruction, artistic training precedes the technical. The content of the music is never separated from its form. Learning improvisation is a practical matter. There is no exclusive theoretical side to improvisation. Appreciating and understanding how improvisation works is achieved through the failures and successes involved in attempting to do it. The Indian musician, with its long, complex relationship between teacher and pupil, has the only methodology or system which acknowledges these basic characteristics of improvisation. Your teacher doesn't really tell you how to improvise. It's purely up to you, the student, to gain experience and to intuit the various methods of playing the music. When you directly learn from your teacher in the framework in which improvisational performance of Indian music takes place, the teacher is able to show you and give you guidelines. They may play to you and tell you to listen and perhaps ask you to imitate certain phrases to acquire the feeling for that raga. And you start playing those phrases, and eventually you get to the stage where you don't repeat the phrases the teacher has taught you. You start to create your own within the raga. It's very abstract, and you don't learn raga in terms of its tonal content. There are plenty of meand, or slides, between notes. It could be pronounced meand. And these are based on, the improvisation of them is based on the feeling that the musician derives from the notes. You learn intuitively the feeling of a raga, and then you have to figure out which possibilities will enhance the raga's mood. To judge the quality of an improvisation, it's achieved by tempo, what's happened before and what comes after, the tone, the particular tone they bring out of the instrument, and the mood, perhaps a phrase which isn't necessarily new but just put in a different context. And there's no real accurate notation system for the ragas, and instruction has to be oral. And in the absence of any music writing or reading, the tradition gets rid of the composer. So there's an assumption that there's an assumption by the player that the music is his creation, his presentation, his responsibility. The continuance and evolution of the music through centuries has been the successful charge of the improvising performer.